I find your lack of faith disturbing.
So, you have accepted the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the finale of Soul Survivor. Who will be kicked off the island, man? Five religious tribes competing for the soul of one person. The tribes? Tribe Mormon, tribe Muslim, tribe Jesus, tribe Buddhism, and tribe Hare Krishna. Five leaders from five religious tribes have been sharing with Catalina all about what their particular tribe believes. And in a sense, competing for her soul, but that's just really kind of a spin. We're just trying to make it sound cooler than it is. So incidentally, we might do this again. We're not sure, but if you would like to be our next soul survivor, email us all your contact details and why you think that you would make the best soul survivor. Just send it to soulsurvivor@drewmarshall.ca. If you want to follow all of this soul survivor stuff and go over what we've just done for the last number of weeks, you want to go to soulsurvivor.ca. Well, I'm excited. This week we hear from our soul survivor herself. Catalina has just heard all these tribes explain to her about their faith. And now it's time for Catalina to let us know which tribe presented the most compelling case for faith. And then Catalina will also reveal to us if she's interested in joining that tribe. And maybe not joining, maybe, I don't know. But if she doesn't want to join that tribe yet, is she interested in maybe going to one of their meetings, whatever they do? Okay? So, Catalina, have you been putting any brain time into this?
Oh, God. No, no brain.
You can't say, oh, God.
Well, I need him.
Soul time?
A little bit of brain.
Have you meditated on this?
Every day.
Okay.
I'm a good student.
let's do the 5-4-3-2-1 thing.
Sure.
Who was maybe in fifth place? Which means they weren't hopeless.
Oh, I don't want to do isn't, that.
Well, we're going to figure it out eventually.
It's your show.
Well, so let's put it this way.
Who did you have the hardest time connecting with? Let's put it that way, because we don't connect with everybody,
okay?
Right?
With the most imposing of, let's put it this way, the most structured through unquestionable faith.
I don't know what you just said.
Okay, what I'm realizing is there are some faiths out there,
yeah.
Right? Religion,
yeah.
Out there. That would impose a certain way of behavior, a certain way of beliefs, without even permitting the one that is going their ways to question it.
Okay.
I have a hard time with that.
All right. So they seem a little strict.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And which one?
Unfortunately, they were the first three ones.
Okay. Tell me about them. Which was the worst? Which one did you have the hardest time connecting with?
Both Mormons and Muslims.
Although, Mormons and Muslims.
Although
M&M's.
M&M's.
Uh-huh. Is that because they're nuts? Get it? M&M's? Sorry.
Although the philosophy of Muslims seems quite nice.
Yes.
I had a hard time with the impositions of the faith.
Right.
You know?
You need to do this, you need to do that. Mm-hmm, da, 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 mm-hmm. Okay.
And in that same category, in a way, Hare Krishna comes because even though I'm very close to them, I feel that the food restrictions, the diet restrictions,
right.
And the way of living restrictions are in a way sometimes not encouraging the brain to choose.
Okay.
And to distinguish between right and wrong.
Right, right, right.
You're told to do something and you have to do it.
Okay.
So
so what you just said is nobody came fifth, but there was a tie for fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just heard you say that. Mm-hmm. It's so nice of you. So in fourth place, the Mormons and the Muslims. Who was third for you?
I think the Jesus.
Okay.
Tribe, just because.
All the Christians just turned their radio off.
I have no idea. Maybe because I grew up close to the faith. Maybe because Anne was so nice on her speech. And thank you for the book, by the way.
Yes. May
thank
I just
so
say
much.
That Anne was the only one that tried to bribe you by sending you her book.
Exactly.
With a little note inside, I think.
It worked. But
but I remember after we finished the interview with Anne, mm-hmm. you said, wow, I really connected with her.
Mm-hmm. And I really did.
Right. But not as much as the Buddhists or the Hare Krishnas.
Just because I have a hard time with not questioning why. I have to question why. Everything I do in my life, I have to question why.
Did you hear her say, you can't question why?
Well, what bothers me in the Christian world is the idea of being a sinner from the moment you are born.
Okay.
I don't really like that. You know why? Because I really, if I am to believe this, which I believed for a week after I talked to her,
right.
It threw me into this deep, how can I call it, sadness, because...
Right.
I don't want to feel like a sinner. I you know.
I get that. No, I totally understand.
I have a hard time with that.
Yep.
And then I also have a hard time putting all that on someone else's shoulders, like Jesus, for example,
right.
to forgive me. If I do something wrong to someone, I'd like to have that direct contact and say, okay, forgive me if
right.
I did you wrong.
Right.
I don't expect anybody to forgive me.
Right.
So
since I have come out of, or I've been involved with the Jesus Tribe for so long,
mm-hmm.
when you're saying this, mm-hmm. I have a double mind on this.
Tell me.
Part of me says, oh, I totally get that. I mean, I totally do understand the concept that as soon as you're born, you're a sinner. Thank you very much. Welcome to the world. You're a sinner. Here's a lucky door prize.
Yeah.
I get that. It just sounds oppressive. It sounds negative. It sounds
heavy.
Yeah. And then, okay, so now all of the heaviness is going to get put on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like a, not, you know, a blame shift in some kind of way.
And it takes you away from the responsibility of behaving properly, because if you're forgiven anyway, by the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. I understand what you're saying.
So what I like...
Let's talk about the born with sin kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, the reason that that is described to us is because in order to understand the right way to relationship with the Creator, we need to understand our position in front of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are walking around thinking that you're perfect, you're not going to see any need to be in a relationship with the Creator. Some people think that they are
mm-hmm.
actually God themselves, and because they think so highly of themselves, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, there's a twist to that, I believe, because I'm learning a lot from talking to other people, and I'm learning a lot from reading. And the key point, I think, for me, it's the humbleness.
Yes.
Like, of course, you're God. That's why you breathe. You're part of God. And of course, you're perfect because you're part of God.
Right.
How can I put this?
Arrogant?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
Like, don't take it with, oh, I'm the best of the best and I can do whatever
right.
I want.
Right.
Have, if we'd all know how to, and this is going to sound cheesy, but this is what I came up with. I think people around the world, myself included,
mm-hmm.
We're so far from God, and I think the distance is created from the fact that we don't actually know how to love.
Which is why I see an actual, if I was to, see, you know, your journey has made me process some things as well.
Mm.
So this is why I'm thrilled that you've been doing this. I see a really, the only real need for pressing it, not the only, one of the main needs for pressing into God
mm-hmm.
is to help me love. Because
mm-hmm.
when I'm honest with myself, Catalina, A, there are times I need to love and I don't.
Mm.
And then there are other times where I love, but it's not a pure love.
Mm-hmm.
It's a selfish love. It's a polluted love.
Yeah.
And so to fix my love pollution, wow, did I just say that? I need a filter.
Yeah.
You know, I need like the best water filter ever.
Yeah.
And I pour my life through that filter so that pure love comes out on the other side.
But imagine
wow,
that.
Am I high?
Oh, yeah.
Are you listening to this
it
stuff?
It sounds so beautiful.
This is awesome.
Dude, man, it is heavy.
Write this down.
Man. Maybe it's the coffee talking.
I don't know. Anyway, what I'm thinking is what you just said
mm-hmm.
earlier about if we are so perfect as God and what need would be for us to connect ever. Well, that would be actually within the perfection, because you would recognize yourself, and then it would be like a perfect mirror.
Mm.
You look at him.
Yeah, except the scriptures do talk about that there is a difference. We are the created, not the creator.
Pretty much, and this is where the humbleness becomes a reality because it's like I came up with something in the kitchen while I was.
Was it like a water filter illustration?
No, I think it's like a child towards its parents. You know, if you think about the analogy. You never lose respect. You always love them. You always trust them. You're part of them. But how many people know how to love their parents?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think it goes back. For me, it goes back to the actual feeling of love. And it's a hard exercise. To know how to love, it's hard. And people think they know, but even, I don't know, if they will love, they will need to actually go out and get what they want, thinking it's their right.
Right.
So it would be a fair exchange, a fair conversation. And I think this is what brings me to the tribe.
Yes, in second place.
Well,
which will reveal automatically which is in first place.
I don't think it's second, but it is closer to second than first.
Yes, is.
And it would be Hare Krishna because...
Did you say Hare Krishna is in second?
Yeah.
That means Buddhism is first?
Is that wrong?
Oh, really? Really? You're going to throw that one at me? No, I had a little prediction in my own head because I met you at the Hare Krishna temple when I was interviewing Swami. Swami Bhaktimarj or Bhaktimarj Swami. And I thought that you would have picked them because even after the phone call with Bhaktimarj Swami, you thought, oh, that was just so great. And, it was cool.
And it still is. That doesn't mean I still have a lot of respect and I still have a lot of...
Yeah. But you put Buddhism as far as...
Yes, and I'm going to explain why. Okay. It's just because it ties the brain with the heart.
Okay.
The soul with the mind.
Yeah.
Which I think it's essential to... get closer to God, to understand instead of loving, having faith blindly, not even knowing what is that. You know what I mean?
Do you want to become a Buddhist?
You don't become, you are. You are what you are.
Are you? Okay. Okay. I get that because that's how Buddhists talk. But outsiders would say, do you want to become a Buddhist? Do you want to?
Okay.
Are you going to start practicing Buddhism? Like, will you shave your head? Will you wear a robe? Will you?
Really necessary?
I don't know. I'm just being
That's
an
idiot. What I would like to. I would like to connect further.
Well, if you want to become a monk,
exactly.
For some reason, the women monks that I know have very, very, very short hair.
But
I think that has to do with more with vanity than anything else.
What I ask,
like making sure they're not vain.
Yes. What I asked Hare Krishna tribe last week was if it's a spiritual path will exclude a normal life in society, and I'm learning from Hare Krishna tribe that it's not
right.
And I think that for myself, who I am in life, I think I want to experience both. Not that I don't have. I haven't had thoughts of withdrawing myself from the world, from the society,
right.
And becoming a monk. Sometimes I have that feeling, need,
right.
thought.
Right.
But then I'm thinking the challenge is how do you embrace both?
Mm-hmm.
I think there are people that they can be that. Mm. I think
That was a consistent question you asked how do you practice this tribal
life.
Code in real life?
Mm-hmm.
And then how much of practicing your code requires retreating from society?
And I think the real challenge is to know how to deal with the prick, to know how to love the prick. No, seriously.
That's Tim's nickname, by the way.
To know how to embrace the challenge, to know how to go through a hard time.
Yeah.
Without being just surrounded by that beauty of what a monastery offers. Just to be involved in.
Are you going to look up and investigate and do some research into a group of Buddhists that you might want to hang out with?
I used to do this 14 years ago when I first arrived in Canada.
Are you going
to
redo it?
I'm already, searching.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
You're already searching for a Buddhist group of people to hang with and learn more about Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this was a path for me that I took 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And I go on and off and on and off just because I search. I always search.
Yeah.
So I want to search some more.
Does it frustrate you that, say, in the Muslim faith or the Mormon faith or the Christian faith, that there's a landing?
Yes.
Because you're so wired to be searching,
mm-hmm.
that I would ask you the question: What are you searching for? Are you searching for the sake of searching, or are you searching to find a place to land? Because most people, when they're searching for something,
yeah.
they're looking for a destination.
I don't have a destination.
Well, then, are you really searching?
Yes, I think that. This is going to sound strange, but I think the destination is...
No stranger than the water filter analogy, I guess.
I think the destination is actually, for us humans that we don't know, the afterlife. I think that's my only destination. And what I'm nowadays starting to feel through all my search, through all my soul search, is that life starts to blend with the afterlife for some reason. It becomes like a yin and yang type of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And... all of a sudden, being a continuum, it takes the edge away.
Hmm.
So I think what I'm searching for is becoming ready to, when I step over, to be okay and be proud of what I've did in this lifetime. I think that's my only search. And I think, yes, to understand God for me right now in this moment in my life is essentially to understand love.
Right, right. Okay, so what I heard you say there at the end was also, out of the five tribes that presented their case for faith before you,
mm-hmm.
the tribe that convinced you that stuff they had or they believed
mm-hmm.
would help you nestle into love.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I coming up with this stuff?
Your wife came home yesterday, so you're happy.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
in a lovey-dovey mood.
It was the one that was going to help you nestle into love the most is Buddhism.
Yes, and the reason is mainly because they do not require unquestionable faith into anything. They just want you to open your heart to whatever comes. And that, for me, it's the logical way to embrace life because you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know. And then that's the search that I do. That's why I embrace everything. And I'm not putting the other tribes aside. I'm still interested to learn more. I just feel that, again, more knowledgeable you are,
mm-hmm.
more chances you have to become a better person. So that being said,
mm-hmm.
then even in any religions, more knowledgeable you are, more you understand how to go by the Ten Commandments, how to respect the Quran, Bible, whatever, book you're following.
Mm-hmm.
But without a good intellect, what are you going to do?
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Interesting. How do you feel now that it's over?
Soul Sad!
Whoa! You just blew the microphone. And our ears. Hello? Hello? Where's Benny Hinn when you need him? I can't hear anymore.
Yes.
Apparently you're sad.
I am very sad. I have tears in my eyes. Yeah, it's been a blessing.
Really. What's been the bestest thing?
Well, just being here and taking my car every morning, driving here, and then knowing that I'm gonna swim in this pool of, I don't know, goodness.
Filtered water.
Filtered water. And then meeting with all the great great people that you gave me the chance to, and having this dialogue, just it actually helped me these past few weeks that I've spent here, helped me getting closer to God.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's been...
Laura, I just got a text from Laura, and so my brain went there. Let me just say that, Catalina, you were perfect for this. You were a treat for us. It was great to obviously we had lots of dialogue afterwards as well.
Mm.
And just to hear or to see a real live person go through this, where there's five different groups telling you. And, it's kind of a cool thing, I think, to have, not just a Buddhist but a well-respected Buddhist leader,
mm-hmm.
not just a Christian, but one of the most respected Christian leaders, not just a Muslim, but one of the biggest Muslim scholars. You know what I mean?
I know.
to be able to present, to have those people present to you their reasons for faith. It was neat for me to see that happen mm-hmm. with you. So, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Folks, if you want to share the Soul Survivor journey that Catalina has been on with anybody, then you want to go to soulsurvivor.ca, soulsurvivor.ca. Send people there, spread that link, share it. All the different people that shared their faiths with Catalina, the interviews are on that site, soulsurvivor.ca. And of course, Catalina's bio is there as well. If you want to become, if we do that, we might do this again. If you want to be our next Soul Survivor, send us an email through that site as well. Okay? SoulSurvivor.ca. What an absolute pleasure and privilege it's been to have you, Catalina.
Same for me.
Yeah. Thank you very, very much. Fascinating stuff. All right. A very short break. And when we come back, like we try to do each and every show, just lighten things up with a recording artist in studio. Bringing us a little, what the heck are we listening to?
Buddhist chanting. I thought we'd go out with that Buddhist chanting theme, seeing as that's where she thought she was going to end up.
I'm going to see if I can. I would like a medium Big Mac, please. No, that's not what they're saying. I thought it was.
I can't have you do
this. I'm an idiot. Short break when we come back. Matt Henderson, stay with us. Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?